So today we're focusing on step two, which is entitled Practicing Your Pitch. And it's pretty straightforward. What's really beneficial about this session is the sort of applied exercises that we're gonna do. But in order to do those exercises properly, I wanted to go over this. So basically what you should do when you're thinking about pitching your event, your program, your project to different media outlets, you know, newspapers particularly, also radio shows and television shows, is to make a list of the people that you might want to contact, right? And to make this list beforehand, you know, it's sort of a matter of preparation and a little bit of research. There are a lot of good ways to make these lists. One of the ways are the media packets that I passed out, which is basically a list of local, news and information outlets that take sort of announcements, that write stories on local events, and the contact information to get in touch with those people, right? But you might even want to do a little bit more research than that, and that's what we talked about last session, which was being a good news consumer, right? Is knowing what kinds of stories, right, these different media outlets do, right? What they do sort of in their, you know, normal news cycle. And who does what, right? Because at different papers, on radio stations, on television, people have their different areas of interest and expertise, and to know who to go to for you to get what you need covered, right, and done. Okay, so the first thing you do is do a little research. Make a list, right? Then after you've made the list, what you want to do is probably write down what you want them to say. And this is also connected to what our first session was about, which is about crafting a press release, right? And it's not necessarily that you need to have already sent them a press release, although that's helpful, but that you need to have already gone through the steps of understanding what it is about your event. That's the hook, right? That's the news peg for them. How to make the case for your event or your program or your organization in a succinct way, and to clarify what the story is for these, you know, for the people who are looking for a story, right? So you need to make the list of the journalists. You need to have already crafted your press release, right? And then in terms of actually making contact, you need to call at the right time. This seems kind of weird and trivial, but it makes a big difference when you're trying to contact media, right? Particularly print journalists, but also for radio and television. To call at the right time in their publication cycle, right, in their news deadline cycle, so that they're willing to talk to you, right? If you've already sent out a press release, then they may already be aware of your organization or your event, but they have 1,000 things to do, right, 1,000 things on their desk. They have their own things that they're pursuing, you know, they have things that they might be compelled to pursue because of their editors or because of the time of year or whatever. So you have to try to make it easy for them to pay attention to you, right? Okay. So this is another thing about sort of preparation. It's good to call in advance, right? Don't call the day before your event, right? Or the day before you want a story to run about your organization, or, you know, et cetera. But maybe not too far in advance. If you let them know a month ahead of time, you know, if you send out all your press releases a month ahead of time, if you make all your contacts a month ahead of time, by the time your event rolls around, there are no guarantees, unless you've been sort of following up, right, that they'll remember what it is you're doing and why it is they should pay attention to you, right? Okay. It's best to call early in the week. Okay, Mondays or Tuesdays, when people don't already have a pile of deadlines that, you know, a pile of things they already have to address. You know, they're sort of starting at the beginning again. And also at the beginning of the business day, same reason, right? By the end of the day, not only are you trying to go home, you already have a list of things that you have to have completed, right? You call it 4 o'clock and people are like, maybe I'll get to it tomorrow, right? Okay.
How long should your press release be? Because somebody told me you send them a 45-second release, then you send a 30-second release, and then you do a 15-second release. What do you do?
Well, there's a variety of options, right? But in terms of press releases, I think that the rule of thumb, at least that I've always followed, is a page, like no more than a page. To have a first paragraph, right, that's clear, succinct, tells you what the story's about, who's doing it, where it's happening, you know, etc. And you shouldn't really need more than a page unless you're including a schedule or something. The next thing on the list is be prepared, right? And this is what I talked about before. Know what your pitch is. Have practiced your pitch. Even write it down. Writing it down is actually really helpful, okay? Because on a phone, you have about 30 seconds to say what you need to say, right? To get the reporter's attention. And 30 seconds is actually a long time, sort of in kind, you know, like, it's not, well, it's not that long, but it's long enough to do what you need to do, right? I mean, think about how 5 minutes of time rambling on the phone, I mean, that seems really long when you don't know who you're talking to and you have other things to do. And you don't want to be stopping, and you don't want to be sort of stuttering, and you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to say, hi, I'm Colin, and I was just wondering if, and well, I don't know, maybe. You know, these are things that we do in normal conversation, which are totally fine. But like I said, you know, somebody calls you up and wants something from you, and they're like, hi, I don't know if you know, maybe just, you know, just like, I have to go.
For me, it's important for the person to say, who it is, what it is about, and say a contact number. Mm-hmm. Repeat the contact number and say, have a good day. Mm-hmm. And that way I have time, if I know who it is and I know, oh, this is something I need to write down, gives me a little time to grab, you know, a writing tool. And then you're hearing the message, but what is most important in that message to me is that contact number. And many times people say, you can call me at 706, and they're gone, and you say, okay, let's hope I stored it in my phone, you know, but that order, who it is, what it is that you want to have done, know about, and then a contact, repeat the contact a second time, okay? Yes. Now this is for incoming. This is for stuff coming in.
I think that's good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And that doesn't change whether it's personal or a business. It's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really good advice, you know. Mm-hmm. So goes, you know, in our sort of normal lives and in our capacities, right, as people who run organizations, you know, you don't have a lot of time either, right? Okay. Great. So the next thing is really practical. Have access, right, to fax or email or be reachable by phone, right? But fax or email is actually better. This is a way that you can have more ways, right, for the reporter to be able to contact you, right, and for you to say, I'm available in all of these ways, right? If you need to send me something, if you need for me to send you something, I can do that, and I can do that now. Expect it, right? Expect it now. You like don't, you know? This is better than, I mean, and I know a lot of us, often we find ourselves in these situations where it's like, oh, I don't have right now with me, I can't, you know, I'll get back to you on this. This just sort of delays and interrupts the process. What you want to do is sort of make a clear impression about exactly who you are, what you need, and be able to supply whatever, you know, in terms of information, right, and contact information and whatever the person on the other end of the phone needs when at the time, right? Okay? And the last one is really important. Follow up. Follow up. Well, I mean, I think that following up as often as you can without being annoying, right, is the way to go. And now this will vary from contact to contact, right? Some people are sort of very efficient. It's clear that you're on their schedule. You know, you just have to call them, you know, if you call a week before, you just call them a couple of days before the event to say, hey, I just wanted to make sure what we talked about before. And that's all you have to do because that's the kind of person they are, right? And usually there are tells in terms of what kind of person they are in the initial contact, right? In the phone conversation and the emails that you have with them, right? Other kinds of people, right, other people will need to and want to be reminded frequently, more frequently, right? In a week's time period, you shouldn't call that many times. But say you have sort of a longer horizon, you know, if you have 2 weeks or so, say you're doing a big event, an annual event or something like that, and you have changed dates on your schedule, or you have gotten a new performer, or you have, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to follow up and make sure all of that is happening. Right, and keep them up to date, and also just keep yourself on the top of their queue, right? Okay. This is also relevant in more long-term strategies in terms of developing relationships with different media outlets, right? With you know the whatever you know with the Hyde Park Herald, with the Final Call, with you know CanTV, with or a particular show on CanTV, right? Is that you want to let them know whenever you're doing something, right? You might even want to let them know, and this is something that reporters have told me, you want to might want to let them know when you have consumed some media that they've produced and liked it, right? I saw this piece that you did. I thought it was really wonderful. It reminded me of whatever. You know what I'm saying? These are ways to build a relationship, right, you know, with the media outlet that you're interested in, okay? But it's sort of a fine line, and it's a fine line between following up and being present and being irritating. You don't wanna nag, right? And you don't wanna make your urgency feel like or sound like their problem, because it is profoundly not their problem, right? You know, right? So it's sort of a difference in tone, and that's also something that comes with practice, right? But so that's all that's sort of on my list in terms of the basics for practicing your pitch and making initial contact. For the rest of it, I would like to pass it on to our local expert.
Thank you, Diva. I want to thank you and the Civic Knowledge Project for having me.
I want to point out two resources to you that may be on other handouts that you got from Diva. The first one is Community Media Workshop, and their website is newstips.org. They have the reason I'm pointing them out to you is that they have a guide called Getting on the Air and Into Print. Their guide focuses on the major media, okay, daily newspapers, network television, and network radio. They also have a lot of the community papers in their directory. But there's a lot that's, there's a whole kind of other sector of the press that I want to tell you about. The organization that I'm with works often, you know, in partnership with Community Media Workshop. It's the Independent Press Association of Chicago. And you can reach us at indiepress.org. Go to the Chicago link that's right on their homepage. In terms of getting to know the press and who's out there and who's available to you to help you accomplish your missions, we are putting out the first ever, IPA Chicago is putting out the first ever guide to the community, ethnic, and independent press. So what we've done is we've taken the media that Community Media Workshop hasn't been able to focus on because they're basically too many for any one organization to cover, and we've gathered data on them and put them into a book. The book is being released November 2nd. This should be a tool, hopefully, for you to use, and I'll get into what the reasons are that you might choose to work with community papers, ethnic papers, and the independent press. Also, I should probably back up and just tell you a little bit more about how the publications that we picked for this guide, that were kind of eligible to be in the guide. They're starting with the independent press, publications that really aren't part of a major corporation. Okay, they're not the Tribune. They're not published by a corporation that also, you know, has, you know, a car rental business or, you know, owns restaurants or Bally's or Walt Disney or any of those companies. They're really
just in the business of publishing something.
Okay.
That's what makes a publication independent. And then ethnic and community press, those are pretty self-explanatory terms. We just went through Chicago and found as many publications as we could that focused on enlightening the news about a particular community, whether that's a geographic community or an ethnic or religious community in the Chicago area. And we ended up with 209 publications, and we didn't get everybody. So we'll be, in the next edition, we'll be adding to it. I'm going to ask each of you actually two questions, your mission, and then how can the media help you?
Our organization is it's an architecture membership organization that does a number of events throughout the year. We'll go out there on a monthly basis to answer questions from the general public that they're asking questions about the building permits or construction issues. And so our young professionals will go over there, they go over to Alan Solis's office and ask questions to our volunteers that we provide to his office. In terms of how the media can know is one example, in that particular example, just getting the word out there that a service like that exists and the benefit of a service like that.
So to let the media know what your organization does,
right,
for the public. Got
right.
It. Okay, great.
So for the Bronzeville Historical Society, I would say our biggest goal is to preserve, protect, and provide African American history and culture in Chicago. Our need for media would be to get volunteers who are experienced in being able to coordinate all of this into an electronic database for use by anyone, not just Chicagoans.
Okay. So boiling everything down that you just said into like a 10-second message, which would be maybe the first 10 seconds of the 30 seconds that you have to talk to the reporter, preserve African American history and culture. And right now you're focused on getting volunteers.
Right.
The media can help you get volunteers.
I would say the group that I'm with is about the community organization, and culture. We're Healing Our Nation Network. Our mission is to organize citizens on a local and a national level to overcome personal and institutionalized racism or prejudice through education.
The goal of the organization is to eradicate racism through education, right? If I'm gonna boil it all down, I know. And your media focus, it sounds like, is to reach beyond the population that's often reached with anti-racist messages and actually reach the European American audience in a way that's effective.
The Coalition for Improved Education in South Shore, our mission is to improve the quality of education that the students in South Shore receive using the community as a classroom, connecting the schools to the resources that are available to the students in the community. The media can help by publicizing some of those stories, those success stories that we have.
My production company would focus mainly on artists and musicians documenting how they produce their craft, and the way the media would help us at the end for performances and showings of those films to get the word out of when these performances were going on.
Great. To get an audience.
Okay.
Vision of Africa International House is, again, the preservation and presentation of African culture in as many forms as possible.
Preserving African culture is
exactly.
The mission. And the way the media can help, it sounds like, is by getting people to your events. You're going to be making products that make people, that bring out
in
beauty.
The beauty industry. It's the beauty industry.
Right. So your goal is to make people beautiful. Right?
Yeah.
Or to help people be beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
And the media can help you, I would say, by really what you want in the end, it seems like, is for business. We're talking about PR.
Mm-hmm.
And PR is how can you use the media to get your story out. Unfortunately, you can't, for the purposes of PR, you can't do anything about how a particular news outlet, newspaper, radio station, TV station, is going to cover what you want them to cover. All you can do is get them to cover it, unfortunately. And that's why it's all the more important to pick the right media, because there are media out there that are sympathetic and reach the people that you want to reach. So I'm going to come back to that point of you can't make the media do anything, which is really frustrating. But as a PR person, you just have to keep it in mind, and you have to treat it like a relationship with somebody that you may not like.
Make it easier for them to do certain things than to do other things.
Make it easy for them, exactly, and help do your research and find out what it is that they want. How do you schmooze with someone? You find out what they want, and you convince them that you can help them get it, right? A lot of papers, I'm jumping ahead here, but I think with the short amount of time that we have, this is probably how we're going to get our content covered just by this conversation. A lot of papers need copy. They need content. Community newspapers in particular. If you look, let's look for a second in Vital Sources. At the front on page, it's labeled page 5, okay? And it says indices at the top. And these indices are just our way of telling you, okay, you're about to get 80 pages worth of alphabetically listed descriptions of publications. You may only want to find the ones that focus on, you know, Austin or Hyde Park, or a particular community, or you may only want to find the publications that deal with, that reach, you know, the African-American community or the Asian, or very different Asian communities or Buddhist communities. This is how you find them. If you look at this, at one of these indices, the community index, for instance, anything that's listed as a community paper, most of the community papers are looking for content. So if you write a good news release and you send it to them, there's a really good chance that they'll take it and they'll just publish it. Which is why your news release has to be really good. I mean, it has to, they're basically, these are community papers that are trying to help you, that are dedicated to serving your organizations like yours, and they're short-staffed. They don't have a lot of writers, and for that reason, they'll often open their doors and take your news release and use it. They spend a lot of their time out there trying to get advertising. They've got, you know, the publisher may be selling ads all the time. The editor may be helping him or her. They may not have a lot of time to dedicate to editorial content. So they, a lot of times, rely on community members to write things. But that's just one, I wanted to balance out what I said about not being able to influence the media outlet with, if you pick the right one, then they want your voice. You know, and the only way to figure out which ones those are is to do your research. I just want to look at one of the publications together. Muslim Journal, for example, it's published in Homewood. They do 36,000 copies every month, which is a pretty decent number of people to reach. If you want to, you know, and they have a little description here that says, the publisher's description, Muslim Journal's masthead slogan is bringing humanity together with truth and understanding. This represents the objective of Muslim Journal. And then they say their audience is, the majority audience is representative of the Muslim American community. However, the Muslim Journal is also a resource publication to prison administrations, military chaplains, schools, some government institutions. And then they say, at the top of their description, they say the community served Muslims in all ethnic groups, readership mostly African American Muslims, general population interested in Muslims. So Muslim, 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 okay. If you're doing something, if you have a piece of history that relates to African-American Muslims, you know, with your organization, or if there's anything, you know, if your topic has anything to do with that, there's a good chance that they're interested in it, right? There's such a niche publication that it's very unlikely that they wouldn't want to cover your story. That's why I'm saying doing your research is the most important thing, and you're going to have to spend some time on it, and nobody has the time to do it, and it's really frustrating, but it's so worth it. It really is. Okay, that's just kind of getting back to how you can find media that are actually, that you can actually get, that are more open to representing your point of view than maybe the mainstream press. Dealing with the mainstream press, there's a whole other set of more sophisticated strategies that you could use to craft stories that you think they'll be open to that will accomplish your mission, right? So maybe we'll work on that in role plays as well. PR and trying to improve your PR isn't about saying, nobody's coming to our events, we need help. I mean, most of the time it's, we're doing fine, but how can we do better? And how can we grow? How can we reach different people than are already involved? Knowing what you want from the media is important because talking to the media can be intimidating. And you really need to be a part of what we're doing here is role playing so that, you know, maybe none of you are easily intimidated, but I get very tongue-tied when I have to pitch a story to somebody. But you need to have the confidence that you've got a good story, that it's of interest to the media representative that you're calling. And my way of doing that is just research, research, research. So everybody on your list, you know why they would be interested in your story, you know. You found out a little bit about their publication, what they're trying to accomplish, and you're able to tell them your story from their point of view. For example, what's the name of your business?
Snap and Go.
Snap and Go? Mm-hmm. Okay, so say Snap and Go, for Snap and Go, you decide to pitch your story to one of the fashion magazines. Mm-hmm. You know that they're looking for something visual. Let's take, for example, Pistol they're on the cover of this magazine, of this guide. Pistol is a quarterly magazine that reaches young people who are interested in culture nationwide. And you've done a little research, you know that they publish pictorials, you know, they do fashion spreads, and you can call them and say, I know you're interested in doing fashion spreads, I've got this event coming up in Chicago. I could even provide you with photographs, or I would be happy to host your photographer, and then tell them what's different about your style, the stylings that you're going to be featuring, something like that. So that you have a good chance of them saying yes because you know that they're interested. Okay, and then in terms of choosing your media, we've talked about how to find the media that might be interested in your story. By doing your research, we haven't talked so much about this. I skipped a step before that, which is decide whom you want to reach. That was part of the discussion when we went around the room. If you know what your organization is trying to accomplish, you know how the media can help. The next step is which readers do you want to reach, and just write it down. I want to reach residents of Hyde Park. Of any age, of any race, of any religion. I want to reach, nationally, I want to reach people who are interested in this kind of hair product. Well, who is that? What age range? That should be part of your mission statement or your business plan, so you should be able to dig that up from somewhere. That's what you're going to use to create your media list. Just basically do your research and find out who reaches those niches. And then understand the mission of the publication, understand what they're looking for, and craft your message and your content based on that. Match your goals with the goals of the media. That's what I like to tell people. And I want to give you a tip before we start doing some role plays. I want to give you just a few tips for doing the verbal. What we're practicing right now is the pitch. The pitch is just one part of your media outreach, right? You're going to be making some phone calls. You're going to be doing faxing, mailing, emailing. If you look at it as kind of a pyramid, you know, the large part of your media outreach is going to involve faxing and emailing and print. And then you're going to pick however many people you have time to call, you're going to call them. And they're going to be the most important people on your list. For whatever reason, they're the ones that you really, really want to cover your story. They're the ones that you're going to end up phone calling. You don't have to call everybody. You can't call everybody. You could try. You know, you can hire actors to help you, which is one thing that some people don't always know. Like, if you feel like you have to do all the work yourself, you're probably wrong. You can probably get somebody to help you with media outreach. And if you're in charge of the whole organization, a couple of you said, this isn't my bailiwick, this isn't what I do, but you're here learning and you can pass this on to whoever you have helping you. Actors make really good media outreach people. If you know this is Chicago, there are tons of actors here, right? If you know anybody who believes in your mission, who would be willing to spend half an hour on the phone for a few days, you could probably get a lot done. What they do then is they call the media outlet, they have the conversation and get the person excited about it, and then hand them over to you. You know, you're the source in that case. Okay, so that's just an idea. You don't have to do it all yourself. But you probably would do a really good job. If the other side of it is, if you're really devoted to your mission, you're just a natural spokesperson. Okay, and your honest interest in your subject is going to come through. But tips for when you get to that point where you're doing the pitch. You can talk for 30 seconds at the beginning before they get bored. But after that, you have to be willing to listen. And most of you in the room strike me as people who are good at that. You know, just watching you listen to each other in the room, you have to count that among your strengths, because you can tell, you can pick up the vibe of the reporter right away. And it usually doesn't work to hear that they're not interested and then just keep talking as if they were interested, and this is going to be really good. And I think your readers would be really interested in the story, and I want a pony, and you know, it's just like a little kid talking to Santa Claus. I mean, you have to be willing, be sensitive to their vibe, listen to them, deal with them as a person. So listen, and then respond. I mean, if they're coming up with, you know, oh, we don't cover fashion, well, then you were just wrong, and you picked the wrong magazine, and you can say, I'm sorry, and hang up. But if they're saying, well, we don't come out again until September, maybe you can work with that. You know, you can say, well, first of all, you should have known, because it says here that they come out every 3 months. But maybe you can work with that. You can say, oh, do you do post-event coverage? Would you be interested in my sending you some photographs from the event after it happens? You know, or if they're saying, well, we just ran a feature on that. You know, we just ran a feature on so and so. You know, and that's really similar to your subject. You could respond to that and point out some of the ways that your story is different. Just be genuine about it. You know, it has to be true. That's why you have to listen, because you won't be able to get that back and forth dialogue without that. And we already talked about, be brief and be confident and assume that they care. People really pick up on that. Diva said that at the very beginning. You have to be ready and believe in your story and pretend. Sometimes, you know, what you can do is pretend that you're talking to somebody that you know who cares but doesn't know very much, you know, like an aunt, you know, or a sister, somebody who believes in your work but doesn't know that much about it. You can do a little creative, you know, visualization there. Then what you want to do when you're actually ready to start making your phone calls, you want to have a script. That goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Write down what you want to say. How many people have ever done like phone banking for, you know, organizing advocacy work or fundraising? You always have a script there, right? Most of the time you don't use it because it makes you sound like a robot. But it's a good crutch, you know, it's a confidence builder. And you can use it the first few times, and then you'll just get so used to doing this, you'll just be sick of it, you know? And it'll be easy. So write your script, and I would do it, I would start actually, although you guys haven't really covered making news releases yet, right? Diva or Hattie?
Yeah, we did in another session, but please add.
Well, I was just going to say, the news release is the basis of your media outreach campaign, and once you have that, it's so easy to make a script from that. You know, just take the bits and pieces that are the juiciest parts, and make your opening, craft your opening sentence to the specific media outlet that you are calling. So you're going to have your script, but you know, I'm calling for the Forest Park Review about my event that's happening, rather than calling some, you know, arts magazine. So I want to emphasize the Forest Park angle. Well, we've got this great Forest Park artist, you know, that. So, you know, I wanted to tell you about it and see if you'd be interested, so that you can modify your script. That's why you're making the phone calls, so that you can make a personalized outreach, because that news release is going to be kind of the same from paper to paper, magazine to magazine, but you can make it really personal when you talk on the phone. What I'd like you to do is take your pencil and paper, and we're just going to take a crack at writing a little script, okay? And then we're going to try it out on each other as if we were pitching, okay? So think about when we went around the room, you told me what your mission was, and we worked out a really short synopsis of what the media can do for you. What's a story that you would want a publication to publish that would get you what you want from the media? So you have to think of a story here. You have to think of, okay, imagine a publication that you'd like to have publish a story about you and your work. So think of the specific publication first. And then think, what story would I want this publication to cover? What would it look like? What would the headline be? You know, would it have pictures? What kind of pictures? Just kind of see it in your mind. Spend a couple seconds doing that. And get specific about the subject. What would the subject be? And then I'm going to give us a few minutes because it's going to involve some thought. If for those of you who have an event, you know what the event is, go with it. For those of you who don't have an event, it's going to take a little bit more thought, okay? But we'll just spend a couple minutes thinking about it and write it out. And the script, I would say for 30 seconds, you probably want no more than 3 or 4 sentences. Well, why don't you pair up with the person next to you and we'll get started.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great
preservation plan that we will add our status to Cook County Hospital. As you know, I'm here to the newspaper for 100 years. As you know, more than 80.